in our home. So you, Pastor and leader, Pastor Landis Fisher.
Amen. We give the good Lord praise once again. Amen. It is a blessing to stand at the sacred desk one more time. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And without any further delay, I do want to congratulate once again Dr. Adams. I'm anxious to read the book.
Amen.
Amen. Been working on it for a while, and we are anxious to get into it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to call your attention to a couple of passages to get us into the Word today. Some of you may have a handout like this that has the scripture we're going to look at today, which is found in the Psalms. This is called the Great Psalm, as a matter of fact, the 119th Psalm, and it is the greatest of the Psalms, it's said, because it has the most verses, I suppose, and it is also known as an acrostic psalm, which means that it uses every letter in the Hebrew alphabet and takes each one and writes 8 verses, I think it is, on each one. Let's see, what do we have there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there's 8, and we're on the letter B. If it were English, this Beth here. If it were Hebrew, it's Beth or Beth. And there are 8 verses with the letter that all start. Now, if you were looking at it in Hebrew, all the words in every verse would start with that letter Beth.
Right.
But in order to translate it, we lose that part of the psalm, and so we see it as, in English, every first letter won't be the B, as it would be if it were in English acrostic. But I just tell you that for your own notes. You may wonder why those letters are alongside the Psalms in the number 119 of Psalms. And it is an acrostic psalm, they call it. And so that's just a bit of information. But we're going to read from the letter B or Beth. And it's like the first part of Bethlehem, you may notice, as you look at that, the place of the birth of the Messiah. And then we're going to look at a few verses in the New Testament from Titus chapter 3, which is one of what I always like to call the T books, because all the letters that start with T, all the books in the New Testament that start with the letter T are grouped together. We call them the T books. And this will be the epistle to Titus, who was an individual, a letter that Paul wrote to his protege in the ministry, Titus, that he left on the Isle of Crete to ordain ministers there as he passed through in his travels. Before us to get started today, let us go ahead and stand and read together in the sanctuary Psalm number 119:9, and we're going to read through 16. That's the entire letter Beth in the Hebrew. And then we will proceed to read the epistle to Titus chapter 3, the first 8 verses. So we got 8 and 8 here today, just so you know. Some of you are aware the piano has 88 keys, and so we're in 88 here today. We're in 8 in the Psalms and 8 in Titus. Amen. And so let's read. You don't have to read the letter Beth. Let's start with this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Amen. We have read the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And now for the New Testament, we're going to put in right here at Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read. put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We have read Titus, the first 8 verses of chapter 3. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated in the sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to use for a topic today for our meditation, yielding to the ongoing work of progressive sanctification. Yielding to the ongoing work of progressive sanctification. Amen. That might sound like a big theological term, but I want to try to break it down for you today to help you leave with something that will bless you throughout the rest of this week, and not only this week, but the rest of your days in life as a Christian, one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want you to see here is that there is an ongoing work, and that work the theologians have called progressive sanctification. Now, to be sanctified simply means to be set apart. That means it's kind of like you do it. You sanctify all the time. You don't think about it, but you're constantly sanctifying at your house. Now, for example, when you wear clothing, you don't put the clothes you had on back with the clothes that are still in the drawer or hanging in the closet clean. You sanctify them. You set them apart because they're dirty. Now, these are clean, and so we keep a difference between clean and dirty. Same thing with dishes. You eat on the dishes, those dishes have to go to be washed. You don't put them back with the clean dishes. So you're separating and sanctifying all the time. You maintain it. It's just a part of your everyday routine. And so we also sanctify other things. There are certain things we don't put together, like you don't put certain things with other things because these things don't go together. You keep them separated. Some of you may even have a fancy cabinet in one room with dishes that we don't touch these until Thanksgiving. These are special dishes here. You know, these here dishes, you don't go in there and grab them when you just want some milk and cookies. You see, you leave those dishes alone and you're going to be in big trouble. Because these are the special dishes. We put them away. We used to have them in my house. It was a china cabinet. And you know, you don't go up in here to get any plates or cups. Up in here, are you in big trouble? Because these are sanctified. These are separated dishes. You see, only for special meals, you see, and things of that sort. So we all sanctify all the time. We understand that, setting apart something and it's something special. So when you got saved, guess what happened? God sanctified you. He said, I take you because you believe in my son, and I put you in another category. You're not with the same mix of everybody down there on the earth who's not paying me any attention. I set you apart. You're sanctified. You know what? You came right out of the same batch with the dirty dishes, like the rest of them. You see what I'm saying? But you know what? When God pick up a dish before he sanctifies it, he cleans it.
Come on here now.
Now you're a clean dish. You go over here. You see, and the fact is, in his sight, we have been declared clean.
All right.
Now, you know, if we were to look closely, we might find there's still a little bit of something stuck on there. Somewhere on the plate that we haven't gotten completely off, just to use that metaphor. But the fact is, God set you apart to sanctify you even further. He said, I'll pull you out of the mass of humanity, and I'll do this for anybody, whoever believes in the name of my son. Doesn't make any difference what you're doing today. If you trust Christ, I take you out of that group of people who don't trust Christ, and I separate you, I sanctify you, I put you into a group who trust Christ. You have signed up for, and for lack of a better term, ongoing progressive sanctification.
Amen.
Now God says, I take up your case. I'm going to take your case no matter where you start out, and I'm going to begin to change your life. You have signed up for complete cleansing. He has declared you clean already. You're already saved. And now let me talk to you and reason with you. You know, Isaiah 1:18, a guy was speaking to the Jews back there. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. He says, get with me and let's reason. Let's talk about your life. What can we do to sanctify you even more? To improve upon you, make you a little better. Get rid of some of the stuff you picked up when you were living without me, and start to learn the good stuff that I have for you now that you're living with me. You are living in me. I am living in you. We have a close relationship, closer than anyone you ever had before when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God said, I'm going to make you less like you used to be, less like what you learned in the world, and more like my son. Every day, this is going to go on till you leave here. You know, till the last day you breathe your last breath, I'm still bringing you up another level. But you can rest in the fact that I've covered you. You're clean. You're already set apart. That's a once and for all, one time thing that God does for everyone who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believes that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says, if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, so that's a transaction that we call, we call it the new birth, because you actually must be born into the family of God. That's how he sanctifies you. He, all things are passed away, and he says, behold, all things are become new. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say it unto thee. You must be born again. So you're born into the family of God, sanctified out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. That's a divine transaction between you and God. When you put your trust in Jesus and believe that God has defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he did it for you, God says, boom. Born again, take you and put you in a new kingdom. Now you're a babe in Christ. Now I'm going to raise you up in Christ. And that's what we call the ongoing work of progressive sanctification. God is going to make you more Christ-like day by day as you go through life. Now you know what? This is a kind of a New Testament concept, but it was something that was done all the way back when God sanctified the Jews, even before the Jews existed. God was separating people to himself. Remember over in the book of Genesis, he told Noah that the whole earth has gone corrupt, and I'm going to have to destroy it, but I'm going to separate you. You have found grace in my sight. And so he told him, build what we call the ark, and I'm going to send some different things I want to save out of this first creation over to you to put in there, and they're going to go in on their own, and you and your family are going to go in there. So Noah raised a godly family in the midst of a corrupted earth who was only doing evil continually, it says. Every thought and imagination of their heart was only evil continually, Genesis says. But God sanctified Noah. He had found grace. Not that he was perfect, but God sanctified him. And he continued to work on him. And so he saved out of the whole first world 8 souls, the Bible says. Then he began to repopulate the earth with those 8 whom he sanctified from the first creation. You see, the rest was destroyed with a flood. And so we see God sanctifying throughout the scripture. In the book of Genesis, we see God calling Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, which was a place where they practiced idolatry and worshiped other gods. But he told them, get thee out of thy country and out of your father's house and away from your kindred. Come into a land that I will show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great. and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, curse him that curseth you. And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God sanctified Abraham. He bought him out to bless him.
Yeah.
And he began to teach him how to walk in his ways. And that we call the ongoing work of progressive sanctification. So this happens with every person that God sets apart. It's happening with you if you're saved.
Yeah.
If you're not saved, God wants it to be happening with you.
Yeah.
He wants to start it up today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to work with you from the day you start, from now on, and he'll be with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be with you every day, even to the end of the world. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get on board with God,
yeah,
he signs you up to be progressively made more like Christ
mm-hmm.
every day. He loves you that much. I'm pulling you out of the part here because you know what's going to happen to the part that's not sanctified. When the last day comes,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a great destruction.
Yes, it is.
And God is sifting out people right now for salvation.
Yeah.
There is a day of judgment on his calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know when that is. But it's our good pleasure to tell people, get into the right category right now.
Yeah.
Let God sanctify you.
Yeah.
Let him bring you into his family.
Yeah.
Let him cover you from the destruction that's going to come up on the world
yeah.
so that you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Become his child. Let him adopt you into his family
yeah.
and he'll make sure that you're saved and he'll do the work himself.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has already done what's necessary to pay for the bill for you to get into his family. And if you trust him, he says, I adopt you instantly on the spot.
All right.
It's just like it is, and we use this metaphor before for some of you may have heard. When you go to an adoption agency, you pick out a child that you want after whatever analysis you go through, and you sign up, this is my child, I'm taking him home or her home, and they come and stay with you, whatever they have, whatever they are, you signed up to see them through.
Right.
So that's the way it is with God. I adopt you, I love you, just like you are.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you've been through. In the case of him, he does know what you've been through. But in the case of us, when we adopt, we don't know what all you've been through.
Right.
But we sign up to take you anyway.
Yeah.
No matter what you were doing, no matter what you went through, no matter who abused you, or whatever kind of thing you may have went through, I'm taking you to love on you until you're grown. See, in the case of adoption. In the case of God, I'm signing up to take you and bring you all the way into my presence.
Yeah.
In glory with complete salvation. I'm taking a load off your mind so you don't have to worry about anything. I'm becoming your provider. I'm going to provide everything you need. You're not going to lack anything. Everything you need, I got it for you, and I'm going to give it to you as we go through. And so this is a wonderful thing. It went on in the Old Testament, and here the psalmist, who is David in this case, says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?
Mm-hmm.
By taking heed thereunto according to thy word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the biggest thing that makes this progressive sanctification work in the life of those who believe is continuing in God's word.
Yeah.
You know what? Jesus said that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you continue in my word,
yeah.
then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah.
Don't you see that progressive process there?
Amen.
You're going to continue in my word. You're going to learn the truth,
yeah.
and the truth is going to make you free.
Right.
Now, free. People say free? Yeah. Look at the stuff that might be holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff you might have been scared to try it.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some in your life right now. You have an opportunity and you have shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, you know, I'm probably not going to be able to do that. Or maybe somebody else shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
They might have said, are you crazy? You think you can get that done? I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And people may have spoke negativity into your life,
mm-hmm.
telling you what you are not able to do.
Yeah.
You might as well get that out your mind, honey. That's a pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
People speak negative to you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
See, but God says,
come on,
the earth is mine.
Yeah.
And the fullness thereof.
Come on.
And they who live in it, everybody around here belong to me.
Yeah.
And everything. And if you ask, I shall give it to you. You shall receive.
Yeah.
If you seek, you shall find.
Yeah.
And if you knock, it shall be open.
Yeah.
God God gives you an open door.
Yes.
He said, if any of you lack wisdom, James 1 and 5,
all right.
Ask of me who gives liberally to all.
Right.
I give liberally, and I upbraid not, the old King James. In other words, I'm not going to find fault with you.
All right.
Oh, well, Patey, I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not going to do that. I'm going to give liberally,
yeah.
And I hold nothing against you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to you, and I hold back nothing.
Yeah.
I, if you're bold enough to ask, guess what?
Yeah.
I'm bold enough to give it to you. God says, I know what you need.
Yeah.
And I'm giving you the blank check. Ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
And you know what? The thing that makes that really work for us is faith.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we ask and we really don't believe God's going to do what he said.
Come on.
But you know what? God knows whether you believe or not.
Yeah.
And if he says, if you ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, let not that man expect that he shall receive anything from the Lord.
All
being
right.
A double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways, if you ask and you doubt if I can handle it, I know that. That's the one thing about God. You can't trick him. He knows if you have faith to believe what I said I can deliver.
Come on.
And if he can know that you have faith and you have the audacity to ask because I told you, guess what? I'm going to come through for you. And you're going to see it coming into fruition, the thing that you asked.
Yeah.
With my whole heart, he says here. And all of this is according to his word. Now, we want to know what the word says so we know what God has made available for us. The psalmist here in verse number 10 of Psalm 119, with my whole heart have I sought thee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Keep me on your course, God, so you can pour out the fullness of your blessing to me. See that? And he knows I need some help staying on the course. Don't nobody in here need no help, though, I know. You know, we talking about some folk over there at that other church down there. Don't nobody in here really need no help from God to do everything he said, I don't think. That's not a St. Timothy thing. That's happening across town at Church X. No, but we need help.
Yeah.
If we ask God for help, guess what? He said, I'm going to give it to you. So notice what the psalmist goes on to say. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Yeah.
I take your word to heart, Lord, and I hide it away. So at a time when I'm tempted, that word can come up in my mind.
Yeah.
Even though some days I trample over it and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I come and I confess, because you said in your word, if I confess my sin,
come on,
that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But guess what? I have a relationship with you to do it.
Yes.
Because I know you told me I could come and ask.
Uh-huh.
You told me if I stumble, to come and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's why he set this table here. I prepared this table so that every month you can think about the stuff that has not been in sync with God's word, that's hidden in your heart. And you come and ask, I'll forgive you and start that account off clean like you never sinned a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. The blood of Jesus is able to do that. See, that's why he said this do. As often as you do this in remembrance of me.
Yeah.
And you do show forth my death, my burial, and my resurrection until I come.
Yeah.
So this is why we do it. We want to come and be refreshed, renewed, and cleansed again. Ask for more strength this time, Lord. So next time when I get to that same spot, I don't stumble.
Mm-hmm.
I can keep on going. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Yeah.
Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me. See that? Thy statutes. We ask God for more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
More understanding.
Yeah.
More wisdom.
Yes.
To keep me going, because I must not have it right, because I still stumble right here, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
At this spot right here. This one thing hangs me up. Sometimes we have stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so notice what the psalmist says here. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth.
Yeah.
In other words, I speak your word all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it on my lips.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the back of my mind. It's like what you told Joshua. Do not let the book of the law depart from out of your mouth.
Yeah.
But meditate therein day and night.
Yeah.
And you shall make your way prosperous and have good success.
Yeah.
You know, keep on speaking that word.
Yeah.
And you, I'm you're going to make your way prosperous and have good success. He says, I have rejoiced in thy way, in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. Your word is worth more to me than silver and gold. Like Simon Peter told a man begging at the beautiful gate, silver and gold have I none.
All right.
But such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, take up your bed and walk. See, so some things are better. We were talking about that this morning. Some stuff is better than silver and gold.
All right.
You know, so good health is better than silver and gold.
Yeah.
Eyesight is better than silver and gold.
Uh-huh.
Be able to hear and talk and move around on my own power, that's better than silver and gold.
Yeah.
You know, there's some folks who can't do those things. You can give, they give you all the silver and gold they have if you can restore their eyesight or make them walk or give them the abilities that you have that God has blessed you with. Now notice this here. He says, and moving on, he says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways.
Mm-hmm.
See that? Meditate. What does that mean? The Hebrew word is a picture of a cow chewing on his cud. Really, it's an actual picture word. You know, cows have multiple stomachs, and I'm not trying to gross y'all out before lunch. But they eat up a bunch of grass, and then they'll bring one back up and chew on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they chew on it until it's digested, they send it back, and then they bring up another one and chew on it.
Right.
That's why you see them there chewing all day. They're digesting all that grass they ate for hours before. So the word meditate is take it and chew on it. Just keep on bringing it up. Chew on it. Keep on thinking about it. Keep it in your mind. Let it displace some of the other hogwash that the world wants to put in your mind. Push it out. Meditate on God's word. If I meditate in your law day and night, the psalmist said, I'll be like a tree.
Yeah.
Planted beside the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in the season, its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yes, sir.
So the work of progressive sanctification goes on in your life as you feed on his word, as you walk by faith, as the boldness of your prayer increases. I'm asking God to do this, this, and this. Take care of that for me, Lord, and I'm going to walk in and give you praise.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the land. I'm going to take the job. I'm going to get whatever it is I need.
Yeah.
Because you're going to make it possible.
Yeah,
because you told me to ask.
Yeah.
I'm getting it. I'm trusting you by faith.
Yeah.
You get up and you go looking for it. Go seeking for it.
Yeah.
But when you get there, God says, if you believe me, I'm going to meet you at the point of your need.
Come on.
So that's all about faith.
Mm-hmm.
Notice what else he says. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Mm-hmm.
See, so we want to keep the knowledge of God in our mind. So the conflict in understanding God's grace versus the application of good works, we've been talking about that. The two persons desiring to be pleasing to God has always been a differing kind of undertaking in all of time, and is usually at the base of confusion for disciples who desire to have assurance of salvation. In other words, most of the time we think God's measuring what we're doing, and that's whether he likes me or not is based on what I'm doing. It's not like that.
Amen.
You need to lose that idea.
Amen.
Because if it was like that, guess how many would be saved? There is none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one.
Amen.
There's none that doeth good.
No.
There's none that seeketh after God.
Right.
They're all gone off the way. They all become unclean. There's none that doeth good. No, not one.
Not one.
Not a one. Who could be saved if you had to do everything perfect? Not a soul. So don't get on that program. That's going to put you down. Understand, God has always saved people by grace. It's not an excuse or a reason to sin, but it's the reality of the human condition that without him, we can't be right. We need Jesus. When he died, that was not a fruitless act that God put on. It was necessary so he could settle our debt. He allowed him to suffer the penalty that I deserve. So that he could be satisfied with me if I trust in Jesus.
Amen.
See, and that's true of you. But that's no excuse for me to sin. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Think about it. If God gave his son and he knew this is what it costs to save these wretches here, I got to give him this perfect one, this without a spot or a blemish. What do you think? How do you think that makes God feel? Well, it's a double cure, some songwriters said. Why? Because God had to turn his back on his son and allow him to suffer, hang, bleed, and die on a cross. And I have to forsake you. Y'all talking about a total eclipse. Wait till you see what happened on the cross.
Amen.
The father had to turn away and let the son hang there and bleed and die by himself. See, the Bible says that it was darkness over the whole land from the 6th to the 9th hour. See, because why? Because the S-O-N was on the cross.
All right.
The S-U-N shut down from the 6th to the 9th hour.
Come on now.
Amen. See what I'm saying? God turned his back. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
He was forsaken for us.
Yes.
That was real. He was the only one who could take it.
Yes.
Nobody else could take it.
Amen.
See, he could take it. Why? Because he was holy from the womb to the tomb. He was holy before that, from eternity, from everlasting to everlasting.
Yes.
But in the body of his flesh, he was holy from the womb to the tomb. And everywhere in between.
Yes.
That's why he could be an acceptable sacrifice to God for whoever believes in him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he is the only one that can get you in heaven.
All right.
Don't believe the hogwash. There's a bunch of it out here. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
Yes, yes.
If you don't come by Jesus, John 14:6 says, you will not see the Father. You cannot come except by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, it says.
Right.
No one comes to the Father but by me. So David, the psalmist, was well aware that his personal quest in life must have the continual recalling to mind of all things that God had taught him. See, your Christian education is important.
Uh-huh.
I need to think about all that God has taught me.
Mm-hmm.
I treasure it in my heart so I might not sin against you.
Mm-hmm.
And through the repetition and application of his holy word, and he had seen the results firsthand. David knew he didn't deserve salvation, but when he had a big challenge in front of him, and he believed me, he had some. Remember, he was a shepherd boy. All the army of Israel was scared of Goliath. Well, they got a big old dude over there. You ain't never seen no dude like this before. Everybody's scared of him. You know, one slap he could do us like the Three Stooges and knock us all down. You see what I'm saying? David said, well, who is this stiff-necked, uncircumcised Philistine that has audacity to raise up his hand against the God of Israel?
Yeah.
Take me to him. And he went and got a slingshot.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 stones. So I'll take him down in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't make no difference how big the problem is.
Yeah.
God has got this.
Yeah.
If you stand up against God, guess what, buddy? You lost.
All right.
I ain't even got started yet, but you lost.
Already.
You coming down. You're not going to make it.
Yeah.
So you don't let nobody bully you.
All right.
Because God is greater.
Yeah.
Now look here quickly. We want to just take a quick glance. Our time's almost gone at Titus. Chapter 3, this is what Paul says to Titus. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. That means it don't make no difference, guys, who's in the White House and kind of smoke they blowing, and who's in the City Hall, and who's in the Kremlin, and who's in any of these places. They ain't doing up a blowing smoke. You just be in mind. Be subject to them.
Yeah.
Why? Because God is bigger.
Yes.
And you be ready to do every good work, no matter what they say.
Yeah.
Speak evil of no man. Do not be brawlers. Don't go around getting in fights and arguing. I see a lot of people waste a lot of precious time out here trying to change the system. We're going to protest and make you stop doing so. No, I'm going to call on God and I'm going to leave it up to him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go tell somebody else about Jesus and not waste my time out here arguing about some kind of a thing you all are doing. Not going to do it. I'm going to be gentle, as he says here, verse 2, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the way we were. That describes the world in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Hateful and hating one another.
Mm-hmm.
Going after what makes me feel good, what gets me off. You see, we were foolish, disobedient, not paying God any attention. living in malice, having malice against people, that means you have an ill intention towards someone. And envy, oh, look what they got, and I don't have it. All these kind of things. That's the way people live. They think all that stuff, well, I got to get me one because they got one. Well, I got to get one better than them so I can look better. It's not about any of that.
Amen.
You know why? Because, he said, that's the way we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, that's the first advent of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
See, God did that whole thing by himself.
Yes.
Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. One thing I want you to notice in this text, chapter 3, verse 4, says the kindness of who and love of God, our Savior. And then down here in verse 6, which he shed abundantly on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how many Saviors can you have?
Just one.
How many do you need? Just one.
Just one.
Is it God? Yes. Is it Jesus? Yes. Is it the Holy Ghost? Yes.
Yeah.
Hello.
Amen.
That being justified by his grace, not because we deserved it. His grace means we don't deserve it. Justified means he's the judge and he said, not guilty.
Not guilty.
I'll let you go free. That's what justified means.
Yeah.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Because of your faith in Christ. We're justified by his grace. We should be made heirs. That means we're in his family and we inherit whatever he owns according to the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Speak this all the time. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We don't do good works to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
We do good works because we are saved.
Amen.
So you're not doing it to be saved. I'm doing it because I'm saved. So disciples have to practice meditation, exploration, and application of the word of God in order to keep their way pure in God's sight, which is how we yield to the word rather than being found in opposition to the word. Amen. So that's how you get progressively sanctified. God wants to make you better. So we are here to facilitate that process. That's what St. Timothy does. That's our profession as a church. We're here to disciple you. We want you to learn the truth, the word of God. We're here to help you understand it. God is revealing it to us as we go. And we are inviting you to be disciples.
Amen.
He said, go and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Brother Adams, let's bring a chair or two here. We want to be able to receive whoever is coming today. Amen. And we invite you at this time all to stand. If there are any here who desire to unite with the church, come right down and be seated here in this front area. We'd like you to come and give your life to Christ at this time and join us here at the church. Give your information to Sister V. She will receive you.
Amen.
If there be any more, would you come forward at this time? Amen.
Amen.
The Most High God is inviting you to come. He's giving his son. He did it for you. Come at this time.
Yes.
Come to Jesus while you have time. there be any other? Amen. Come while you have opportunity. We love to be your church, or we love to be your pastor. We love you. We'll do everything we can to help you to be like Christ. Amen. But that's what we're doing. We're learning how to be like Christ. So if you are here and you want us to work with you, we'd be very happy. We'd be overjoyed to serve you in that capacity. Amen. We're thankful for these who the Lord has sent. Amen. Yes, sir.
And we have Darcella Crawford.
Amen.
She experienced
it. Amen. Well, we do want to welcome you, Brother Crawford. Thank God for you and you and Sister Crawford.
Yes.
Amen. Would you, either of you, like to make a statement in your own way? You can if you like. You don't have to, but we just want to give you the opportunity. Amen.
Thank you.
Well,
why
do
you want
to thank you for allowing me to welcome us to join the church tonight. As a member, we plan on bringing opportunity to do what we can to be a member of the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we accept you on the basis of your own testimony. Amen. All rights and privileges extended to you, brother, my sister. And Alexis, you are a candidate for baptism. We would like you to join our new member class if you can be here on next week at 9:30. We have just started a class for our new members, and we'll start to help you understand everything you need to know and make you prepared for the baptism, and we'll schedule that, give you time so you can invite whoever you'd like to be here to witness it. And we're very blessed that you have come today.
Yes.
Amen. So we thank God for you.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, God.
Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you and we praise you, Father. We thank you for this sister who you sent. And we ask you to bless her, Lord, with everything she needs between now and next time she returns. We ask that you give her the fortitude and ability to return, Lord, on next week, and that any we come against anything the enemy might try to bring against her, Lord God, that he would be cast away out of her life, Lord.
Yes,
God. We ask you to protect her and keep her and bring her back that she might be made ready to receive baptism, Lord.
Yes.
We give you the praise this morning, honor and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And for these that come with Christian experience, we want to say a prayer with them. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for these who have come with experience, Lord God. They know you, Lord God. They're coming to do a work for you here in our church, Lord God. And we ask you to empower them, Lord, by your grace, by your mercy. We thank you for sending them to be a part of our number. And we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. The church said together,
Amen.
Give God a big hand. Amen. So, amen. We want to go ahead and extend. I don't think you already went around to give them the right hand of fellowship.
Okay.
Amen. We'll do that at this time.
Fellowship,